So if you have your Bibles, I know we have our children here, so I want to be cognizant of that, but also just spend some moments in the Word of God. I love the Word of God as you do. And we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. Children, you guys are doing great. And if you got a little wiggles, I'm a grand. I keep saying that. So yesterday, we helped coach our son, our grandson Lucas, who is 3, in T-ball. And T-ball is the best baseball there is. It is so. So they would, the kids would hit the ball, and then they would run and get the ball and crash into each other. And the parents are going, "No, go to first, go to first, go to first." And they were just, it was awesome. And so, it's the best. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 for a few moments. Paul says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." There's a lot of alls there. In chapter 3, Paul's about to start a new subject. Chapters 1 and 2 are just filled with all that God has done for us. Before the creation of the world, he chose you. Before there was anything else, he said, "I want you." And in chapter 1, it's just an amazing revelation of all that God has done. And then Paul prays. And then in chapter 2, he continues the revelation. In chapter 3, you see him say, "As a prisoner of the Lord for your sake, you Gentiles." And then he pauses and he continues to unfold this revelation that said was kept from men generations past, but now has been revealed to God's holy prophets and apostles. And so Paul then prays again that we would know how high and wide and deep and long is the love of Christ, that you and I would be filled with his love. And here's a point. Paul's not just giving information, he's giving revelation. And there's a big difference. Revelation is like something is there, but until the covers are pulled back, you can't fully see it. So Paul is giving such revelation of, it's not like, "Hey, I got it, I read it." He is saying that, "Hey, listen, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in our hearts to continually get all that God has done for us." It's our identity, our understanding that God loves us. Turn to somebody and say real quick, but also with loving eyes, "God loves you." Okay? So chapters 1, 2, and 3, Paul is saying these things. He's given this revelation, and we need to be continually praying, "God, reveal what you've done for us." Now Paul makes a shift in chapter 4. And in chapter 4, he goes from all that God has done for us to now he looks at us and says, "I urge you," and it's the same word that Jesus said will be the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that to come alongside, to be someone who is urgent, to plead, to say please, actually the word means. That Paul is saying, "I'm not with you, but if I were, please pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. Please listen, because Paul is about to step in from chapters 4 through 6, 9 into the evidence of us understanding all that God has done for us will impact the way we live and think. That our profession of what God has done for us and our life of how we live should balance out. And so he says, "I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling." If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you heard the call. You heard the call to say, "Be mine. I love you." And when we responded to that by accepting Jesus Christ into our hearts, that is the call. And Paul says, because you know the call, you have the ability to live a life worthy. Now, many of you know this, but the idea of worthy is scales. The old scales, would you put weights on one side, and then the scale would go down, and then you put something very precious and valuable on the other side, so you get to see what the value is of the preciousness according to the weight. So Paul says in chapters 1, 2, and 3, the weight of all that God has done for us is this. Now, the way in which we live balances out the scales, number one, of how we know how valuable we are, but also the life we live reveals that we understand and live that. So he's saying, basically, our profession and our lives should mirror each other. And Paul recognizes that that's not a, I got it, I got saved, I accepted Jesus, now I've got it, I'm living it. It's not that easy. He recognizes that as for people who have received the calling to live a life worthy, he doesn't go immediately into behaviors, he goes into heart motives. If our heart's motives are dealt with, our behaviors will follow. And he will get into behaviors in like Revelation, I'm still in the book of Revelation, Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. So he will say things like this, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Amen, ladies? Amen. Little stronger now. Men, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You see, he's moving into this place. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, don't exasperate your kids. He's moving into practicalities about how you and I are. Before he says, wives, submit to your husbands, he says, you all submit to each other. He's giving us how to do this, but he starts with heart motives. So where do we get, thank you, Paul, where do we get this from? Because I have read a lot of definitions about gentleness and humility. I have heard a lot of stuff about gentleness and humility. Most of it pretty good. But I want us to go back to our leader. I want us to go back to Jesus. Because he tells us something about gentleness and humility that we can all lean into. So if you go with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. And it's 29 and 30, verses 29 and 30. And the context that when Jesus uttered these words, he is coming from a place for those who are becoming weary of the religion, the religious duties of the law. It's becoming wearying, but it's also available to all of us wherever we're at in life. I really believe that. So Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened. And I will give you what? Rest. I'll give you rest. It means an intermission. It means a pause. I'll give you rest. You can take a blow. He says then these words. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am what? And what? Where? He is gentle and humble of heart. The same two words that Paul says, be completely humble and gentle with each other. Jesus says, that's my nature. That's my heart. That's my character. So to know what, how to live a gentle life and a humble life, we look at Jesus. Now, was Jesus a pushover? Was Jesus this weak-willed, kind of like, okay, I am the Messiah, but beat me, I deserve it. Was he this man who was, I'm so gentle, I'm not going to fight back, I'm just going to... He did not fight back until the cross, but up until then, he was a man of power and authority. He was a man who walked in great power and authority. Why? Because he was gentle and humble of heart. Power outside of gentleness and humility can destroy. Power that walks in humility and gentleness accomplishes the purposes of God. And dear ones, if we fully understand to the degree that God has filled us with his power and authority, and often I found with Christians, we think we're worms, we're nobody, we're nothing, and God says, no, I chose you. Me, God, before there was even let there be light, I chose you to be holy and blameless in my sight. I used to play sports. I used to be an athlete. And when I would play sports with my brothers, I was the last one chosen. And it was always in this light. Okay, I guess I get Mike. Bob. To all you good athletes, Jesus forgive you right now. You are the first, remember we used to have wallets with pictures? Remember those days? You're the first person in his wallet. You're the person, he goes, this is my brother right here. This is my people, right? And he says, now, do you want to live out the power I've given you? It starts for heart motivation, gentle and humble. So let's look at these. We're only going to do these two words this morning. Gentle means this, even-tempered, balanced in spirit, having passions under control. It's not weakness, but power and strength under control. So a gentle person is a person who exercises power, but under with a controlled spirit. They know who they are and they know what they can do, but they do that with mercy and kindness and gentleness. So let me give you a quick story. My wife, my family and I, when we grew up, I grew up on 3.5 acres, a little ranch, and we used to board horses. I don't know what you do that when horses stay at your, I don't know if it's boarding horses. Anybody know? This is Idaho. Come on, somebody help me. Is that right? Okay. So we had this horse called Bess. It wasn't ours. We were boarding it. And she was, I believe, if this is correct again, 16 hands tall. She was a big horse. Tan, black mane, black tail. Bess was beautiful, but Bess was a horse that if you gave her her head, if you know what that means, you give her reins, you don't get it back. So we had this friend, this girl named Brenda. She was friends with the person who owned the horse. We were housing or whatever the horse. Brenda says, can I ride Bess? The friend said, yeah, talk to the Richardsons. We'll work it out. So she comes to our house, Brenda does, and she said, I want to ride Bess. So we saddled Bess, and before we gave her the reins, Brenda, we said to her, do not let the reins go. Don't give her her head at all. And she gave us one of these. Okay. And I know we're in trouble. So she gently walks the horse to the farthest part of our property and gives the universal let's go sound. You know that kick? You know, right, there it is. And then with her heels, she gave Bess a little pop. It seemed like a long time. It was probably just a few seconds. Bess went boom and took off right for us. And we had a 3-rail fence and we're watching as Bess is coming toward us full gallop and Brenda's doing this. Bess would not stop until Bess got right to the 3-rail fence, stopped at a dime, and Brenda, it was a masterpiece. Brenda, holding the reins, stopped, went over Bess's head, holding the reins, and landed on her bum, holding the reins like this. She cleared the fence, and then let the reins go. Now, me being a preteen, I started laughing. I thought it was hilarious. My dad gave me one of these. Hey, boy, you better shut up right now, right? He gave me one of those looks. I stopped laughing and then showed compassion. Brenda, are you okay? Eyes about this big. Thank the Lord that the only thing that really got hurt was her pride. This is what we're talking about, gentleness. It's strength under control. It's power under control. It's not that I have the power and authority and I can do whatever I want. No. Kindness considers others. Kindness is that place where you go, hey, wait a sec. I have the right to do that. I can do that. But I'm not going to do that because it's gentleness. Now, as I was thinking about this, I started this a couple weeks ago. The issue that I have with kindness and gentleness is this. It's not a formula. You can't go, in this case, do this. It is a lifestyle that because we receive the calling, Holy Spirit will work within us to teach us how to be gentle, how to know when to say something and when not to say something, how to know when to act and not to act. It's around our children, around our families, at our work. It's not just in this building. It's our lifestyle of choices that when we are gentle because Holy Spirit is teaching us. Now, if we don't have control of our passions, if we don't have control of our emotions, then Holy Spirit is trying to teach us something. Hello, go back to identity, know who you are, and as you continue to do that, pray for the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Pray that you understand His love for you. As you do that, the evidence of that will be seen by the way in which we live. Second one is humility. Humility. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to let Jesus show us what humility looks like. Hey, glad you're here. Thanks for being here today. God bless you all. Let's read together. Oh, which verse? Verse 3. Do nothing, oh my goodness, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Pause for a moment. This isn't like I am less than you, you're better than me, you're greater than me, you're all this stuff. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about being considerate of other people in the way in which we live. He's talking about you and I need to pay attention that we're not, it's just not Jesus and I, we got a good thing going. It's that our relationship with Jesus will then transfer or should transfer or will transfer as we grow and mature into a consideration for others. And then he goes on to this. Each of you, verse 4, should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Verse 5, some translations say you should have the mind of Christ. My translation says, your attitude should be the same as of Christ Jesus. So again, it's an internal motivation. It's not a behavior. It's an attitude of the heart. And here's Paul's words about Jesus. He knew who he was. Who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Think about this, dear ones. Jesus, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. Jesus was part of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He was the Word of the beginning, but God the Father, God the Word, God the Holy Spirit knew that humankind needed a Savior, so Jesus left who he was, not as God, he was still God, and became a human being. He left his original form to become a human being. He humbled himself. Oh man, God became this. Why? Humility. So what does humility look like? Humility looks like obedience. We all wrestle with a nature that wants to do whatever we want to do. Humility is this. I am going to choose to follow what God says to do, even though my passions and desires wants to do something other than that. So humility is not a mealy mouth, I'm nobody, a worm. Humility is a strength that says, whatever God tells me to do, I'm going to do that. And what does that do? It brings humility. And when we don't do that, we have a mechanism. Forgive me. Forgive me. Why? Because forgiveness is the recognition that we didn't humble ourselves and obey. We didn't do it the way God tells us to do it. Jesus said, I only do what my Father tells me to do. I only say what my Father tells me to say. He lived a life of complete obedience We don't. We still wrestle with a sinful nature. And so what does God tell us to do? I want you to mature into humility and gentleness. When you do that, it's an evidence that you're getting it. You're understanding it. The revelation is coming alive in your heart and life. The revelation is now transforming the way you think, the way you act, the way you behave, the way that you, which you interact with people. You are getting it. How do I know that? Because of gentleness and humility. Let me give you one more story. John chapter 13. We're looking at our teacher again. This, not humility, but this humidity is killing me. Anybody else? I'll sit on my couch and all of a sudden go, Pah! Plus it's the glory cloud, the glory cloud, hallelujah. John 13. And then we're done. Verse 2, the evening meal came, was being served, and John writes, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Verse 3, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Catch that. He had all power. God had put all authority, I believe is that word, under Jesus. And it says this, and that he had come from God, and he was returning to God. So, Jesus got up and preached the sermon. Jesus got up and did all these wonderful things. What did Jesus do when he knew that he had all authority and all power, and he was knew where he was coming from, and he knew where he was going? What Jesus does is he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, and he poured water into a basin, began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Why? Jesus had an issue with his disciples that we all struggle with. Even the night in which he's betrayed, the disciples are still arguing who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus is trying to teach his disciples, that's not how my kingdom works. It doesn't come with titles and positions, and it comes from humility. Even as we get down Ephesians chapter 4, Jeff and Josh have been talking about, you know, Jeff gave us that the five things, the prophet, the evangelist, apostle, and he broke that down. See, those gifts operate in humility and gentleness. What we have done as human beings, we have made it into a person or persons who've got, hey, I'm the apostle, I'm the prophet, and Paul is going, no. These people are necessary because all of us struggle with gentleness and humility. So he's going to put people into our lives that are going to help us prepare us for the work of the ministry. And that word prepare means to mend a net. It means to mend a broken bone. It means that things are not how they should be. So Jesus gives gifts of people into our lives to help us mend those areas of our lives when we're not walking in humility and gentleness. I thought that was a pretty good point. Moving on. Amen. Verse 12, Bob, because we're feeling something out right here. Former athletes. Verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord. And rightfully so. See, he knew who he was. For that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So, I am not bringing out a water basin and a towel. Has anybody ever sat through a foot washing service? Right? It's humbling to have your feet washed. But I've also seen this. Just be honest. Look at me as I'm washing somebody's feet, don't I? And Jesus is trying to teach us something. Here's how my kingdom works. It's not by who's the greatest, it's by who's willing to serve. And so how are we willing to serve? Humility and gentleness. But this is more than a Sunday service. This is wives and husbands. This is single people. This is families. This is work. This is business. This is how we treat the waitress or waiter at the restaurant. This is when we're at Costco. What kind of people are we? It affects, because when Paul says live a life, it means as you walk about, as you go about life, this is what the demonstration is. You're getting it. You are his child. He loves you. You are awesome. And now you don't have to prove anything to anybody because you know who you are. You know who you are. So you have to get here early and set up chairs. Okay. We'll set up chairs. Hey, my wife, okay, what do you need? My kids, what do you need? What do you need? And we're living a life that demonstrates to the world that we get it. We're followers of Jesus Christ. We understand his love. And so we walk in humility and gentleness. And I present to you, honestly, humility and gentleness is the power play. It's not the person who goes, it's my right. I can write whatever I want to. I can say whatever I want to. I can do whatever I want. That's not the power play. The power play is the person of gentleness and humility who measures and thinks and then does. Because it follows this. I've had seasons in my life when I was younger, when I would do the Lucas 2-year-old walk with, when I'm acting like Lucas, my 2-year-old, where I want to do something and I start doing this. No, 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 I'm not listening. La, 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 I'm not going to do that. No, 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 no. Anybody else ever done that? Bob, it's just you and me today, Bob. Stand with me if you would. I encourage you to pray Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3 over your life all the time. Because the evidence of us understanding who we are will be lived out. It'll be lived out. It'll be something that is evident to all that we are living it out, but we don't do it perfectly. So Paul says this, be gentle and humble and patient with each other. Bear up with each other. He'll say that in Romans chapter 14 and 15 as well. We're all at different maturity levels. We're all at different places on the journey. So it's our responsibility to go, hey, let's be patient. Let's bear with each other. Let's be gentle. And when we don't, what do? We confess. We ask. We allow the Lord to come back and do a work in our hearts by the Spirit. So, would you close your eyes for just a moment? If you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, man, our society doesn't teach humility and gentleness. It's about making the most of yourself, promoting yourself. But as a follower of Christ, this makes sense because you've received the calling. And I just want you to take a moment. It's not navel gazing. It's just look at your heart. Has there been places of life where passions have not been under control? It's God's indicator. Say, hey, listen, man, let's continue to grow. This isn't shame-based. This isn't get better. This isn't self-improvement. This is us getting to a place of allowing Holy Spirit so that it move in our hearts so it becomes like breathing. It becomes more, this is how we naturally are because it's supernatural work of the Spirit. Humility is not being a carpet where people can walk over you. Humility is this ability to say, I'm going to do what God says, even if my heart wants to do something else. So how many of you this morning would just welcome Holy Spirit to do a deeper work of revelation in your heart? Yeah. Yeah. Father, thanks. We love you today. If you don't know Christ Jesus, your Savior, you're not joining a church or a club. You are joining the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in relationship. He chose you before the foundation of the earth. And you're just responding to, yes, I want that. Yes, I accept that. And so if you're here this morning and want to just talk, absolutely, we'd talk to you about it. But it's more of just your heart. Jesus, come into my heart. It's like a relationship. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I want to step into this relationship with you. So, we're here if you need us. Father, I bless this family. I bless what you're doing in our hearts and our lives. And I bless, Lord God, that we would be capable of this by the power of the Holy Spirit, or you would not have called us to it. And Father, thank you that you empower us by your Spirit to do this. But Lord, it's also us just surrendering our hearts to your word. And I pray, Lord, in our homes, if there's tension and turmoil, that we come back into how you tell us to live. I ask, Lord God, if with kids and families, there's it's rough and it's hard and it's not changing, Father, that you would come and do such a great work there. Lord, slaves and masters, Lord, for us, it's our work environments, that we would not be a part of the problem, but, Lord, we would be solutionaries to the problem just by gentleness and humility. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we as a family submit yourselves one to another as the Lord. That's what Paul said before, wives submit to your husbands. That, Lord, we would learn how to do this. It's not a formula. It's a lifestyle. And so, Lord, I bless that. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Would you agree with me by saying yes and amen? If you need prayer for anything, we're here. If not, God bless you guys. Have a great Sunday. Be blessed. Bye-bye.